Welcome to episode number 21 of Become a Guitarist Today, with myself, Adam Roach. In this episode, I talk to Kirk Redman, a classical guitarist from Georgia in the United States. Kirk has a bachelor and a master's in performing arts, and also is an amazing guitarist. Now, for anyone that knows me, they know that I like my rock guitar, but I also love my classical guitar as well. I learned it for about 7-8 years when I was in high school, and then after that, continued on for a little while to do guitar exams. So in this interview, we break down all the techniques used in classical guitar, including finger picking, the dynamics, and lots more. So throughout the interview, you'll also hear pieces of Kirk's playing that was recorded from one of his recitals that he did. If you would like to learn a couple of the tips on classical guitar, then check out my closed Facebook group, where I have a few videos demonstrating some of the techniques that we speak about in this interview, and also some of the first things I learned back in the 80s when I first started classical guitar. So don't forget, the Facebook group is free for the first month, and then from there it's only as little as $2.50 up to $20 for a lifetime. So check out my website, becomeaguitaristoday.com, and you'll be able to see all the packages in the shop page. And also, if you go to the podcast tab, you can check out all my other podcasts and the gallery with all the videos of who has been on my podcast. Now, over to the interview with Kirk. I start off the interview by asking Kirk about the different techniques involved in classical guitar.
I mean, it's good, so you're really my first classical guitarist I've had on the podcast, which is it's really good. So I wouldn't mind getting into some of the techniques involved. Now, like I said, yeah, I did classical myself before, but it's been a long time, so it's, you really got to stick to it. Yeah, remember all the things.
Mm-hmm.
So with dynamics, do you find that's a big part in classical guitar?
Yeah, that's it's interesting you brought that up. I was thinking about that this morning, and this week I've actually been practicing kind of dialing back everything in my playing, just slowing down a bit, which is always a good idea. But the new thing is I'm going from playing at concert volume for the most part in my practice to barely playing and like minimal effort and just trying to reduce like all of the extra effort and really kind of learn that feeling of being totally relaxed. But in concert, yeah, it's in a sense it's simpler because we don't have to worry about the electronics and just turning a knob up. But it does throw things off. If suddenly you find yourself in a little bit bigger of a space and you need to play out a little bit more, suddenly it's like, oh, this thing that I can play 100 times in a hall half this size perfectly is just falling apart. And it's just kind of that edge of a little bit more effort. And it's shopping for new guitars. It's a major issue. But that's the biggest thing that people talk about nowadays. Like, it's assumed that your guitar is going to sound good. And that can vary a little bit depending on what sound you're looking for. But the number one thing talked about is volume. You can get two guitars that both sound beautiful, and if one's a little bit louder, it might be 3 times the price. And actually, some of the loudest makers are actually from Australia. So they're turning out some awesome instruments there.
And the other thing, I mean, the main things, finger picking, that's probably the huge difference for the classical.
Yep. And it's the growing out of the nails is the worst part of classical. If anybody listening is looking to get into classical, don't start with nails. Start just bare fingertips. You'll do just fine. But yeah, it is interesting. I get a lot of questions about the nails usually, and people start kind of watching what my hands are doing. What's with the nails? Like, that's a little weird. The classic response is like, oh, those are your picks. And I used to get bothered by that just because I was like, no, this is so much more, it's so much more complicated. But as I learned, as I got better at my picking, my actual like flat pick technique, I started to notice a lot of the carryover. And in the way that like classical guitarists are always striving for this tone, and I guess all guitarists really are, but classical guitarists go about it in a very different way. And kind of approaching the string in a way that that glides across the nail, I've learned a lot about how to get better tone with a flat pick too. Because if you end up playing with that pick straight across the string, you get that kind of bright, thin sound. Whereas if you play a little more at an angle and let that glide, so you kind of get like that bright, harsh sound versus that if you're not coming directly across and really like plucking at the string. But yeah, in terms of the actual like getting all of your fingers working, there's a couple of different approaches. I've generally started my students just alternating index and middle fingers for playing really basic melodies. And then, so that's index, middle, index, and just kind of walking those back and forth. And I've had some good luck with that. There's always downsides to kind of every approach. And then I've noticed other people who learned all thumb first, and they just play melodies on the bass strings in their beginning stages. So, and that's totally different in terms of like the sensation, but both kind of set your hand up in slightly different ways that allow for you to eventually be playing with the thumb and have melodies going separately. But I think that's what really draws me to classical guitar. I love playing with other musicians, but sometimes it's scheduling is always annoying. I'm sure you know that with playing with lots of other people.
Yeah.
But it's great to just be able to sit down and when I'm practicing, I'm not always practicing things I want to listen to in that moment in the way that I'm practicing them. But when I get fed up with just kind of drilling little snippets and working on technique and stuff, I can play a whole piece and it can sound complete. So you just get that full.
Do you have a favorite piece you like to play?
Ooh, that's a good question. I have a lot of favorites, and it tends to be whatever my favorite is at that moment is definitely something that I play.
Do you know Cavatina from Deer Hunter?
I've never learned it up to performance, but I'm actually going to be working on an ensemble piece. Like I'll be conducting the ensemble in a couple of months, playing a piece that incorporates that. So like the first guitar part is just playing Cavatina, and then the others are kind of doing some accompanying things in and around that. I've read through it a bit since I got the music for that, but that's my full extent.
First part's alright, but I think it's that second part stretchy. I mean, that's the other thing too. I was going to say about the there is a lot of stretch involved as well in some of the chordal voicings, I guess, in classical guitar.
There definitely are some really big stretches, and it depends on kind of what pieces that particular guitarist is doing. But I've noticed with a lot of electric players especially, they tend to do a lot more smaller stretches. So kind of in your scales, you'll end up with a 3 notes per scale. And oftentimes I see the pinky and ring finger stretched out over 2 frets, which I would never do. I've seen some classical guitarists do it, but I just have really small hands. And so I avoid these stretches whenever I can. But there are definitely times, oftentimes if you have kind of a like a descending bass note that you need to hang on to, that's really when you get into some of those bigger ones. Usually I try to avoid jumping into anything just because it's risky. And I want to make sure whatever I'm doing, I'm going to nail. And then, but the stretching is, and I bring this up with students that are not playing classical often, is we have this kind of goofy classical position with either a foot up on a footstool, or I use a contraption attached to my guitar to get the same position. But this neck's sort of up almost vertical and then like in the middle of our body rather than off to the side. But suddenly all of these stretches and like interesting chord shapes go from being really, really difficult to like totally manageable.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even like bar chords, I don't even use my thumb oftentimes if I'm playing a bar chord, just because you kind of have this angle with your arm that it's almost like a bicep curl where you're pulling back on the neck of the guitar and it's stably in place so you can put enough pressure on there without having to squeeze it all. And there's definitely that, there's still those moments that you kind of have to lean in and do interesting things with your arm just to make things happen, but as long as you don't get stuck there and end up having to play the whole piece hunched over.
And also the rest strokes with your finger picking. So you do a lot of that as well?
Yeah. I'm often not as attentive to it as I should be. So there are times where I end up playing a rest stroke without realizing it. The big downside is if you're doing sort of arpeggio textures, you end up muting the lower string. For anyone who's listening and is not sure what the rest stroke is, yeah, essentially you're playing one string, and as your finger moves through that string and plays it, so if I'm playing on the B string, the second string, as soon as that note, or that string leaves my fingertip rests on the third string, and that way it's kind of always attached and stable on the guitar. But you do, if you have something like this, and you do those all as rest strokes, instead of getting that nice chord. Mostly nice.
Yeah, it's really cutting off the notes, isn't it, the rest strokes?
Yeah. And it can also be really useful for that, too. If you have a melody that you want to be really connected but clean, we always try and think like singers. I think that's true even beyond classical, is playing melodies in a way that you would sing them. And you would never hear a singer leave one note ringing as they go on to sing the next note. That just doesn't happen. So that's something that I look for a lot in, because oftentimes if you have this busy texture, making one thing sound like the melody can really be a challenge. So that's one way of doing that, is making sure that you're using your rest strokes and other right hand fingers to damp notes that you need to stop at a particular moment. I end up spending a lot of my time making notes stop, a lot of my practice time like stopping notes rather than actually starting them, which is, it's very counterintuitive, because it's like, well, I can play through this piece, I can get all of the notes to start, but then I get to this moment where we should have this like beautiful, that kind of thing, and I just have this, all of these notes ringing across. Well, that's really unsatisfying. How do I find fingers that are not busy to go back and stop those strings when they need to be stopped?
It's like, I was going to say, yeah, Malaguena. Do you know Malaguena?
Yeah.
Is that rest strokes, or is that or just free strokes?
You can do it in a lot of different ways. I would probably play it rest stroke. Most of the arrangements I've seen tend to put the melody in the bass, and you kind of... tuning this morning. my new strings are stretching out. But yeah, so it's, in that case, you would play a rest stroke with the thumb. So I'm playing on the fourth string there and resting on the third string because the thumb is going up a string but down towards the floor. And then that upper note, because I don't want that to be too powerful, is a free stroke, which is just not playing a rest stroke. If I were to switch that and do a free stroke on the thumb, then I would get...
really overpowers it, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. You kind of end up with this imbalance.
I mean, it just really shows all the different formulas, you know, into classical guitars. So, like we're saying at the start, it is totally different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always compare it to like piano or harpsichord. Like, absolutely, if you play one, you can go right to the other and tell me exactly all the notes. You can play chords, you know where things are, but the feel of it and sort of the way that you use it is fairly different.
And even like the, you know, chordal pieces as well, it's not your normal G, C, D, you know, it's not mm-hmm. the basic chords, it's different voicings and plus the melodies.
Yeah, that's one thing that I think, I'm very glad the way that I learned, I started on classical. I mentioned my friend was playing in elementary school and I heard that and I was just enamored with what it could do. I think it was a surprise more than anything else. And so I didn't play a G chord for years. I didn't even think about it. Yeah, and by the time I did, it was no big deal. It was, sometimes the G chord is like, of those first two or three that you do, that's kind of the big stretch. And when I did that, I was just like, oh, no, there's a G chord. Like, I know those notes. Like, I just put them down at the same time, and I do that. No big deal. But because I had already learned kind of where the notes were, then I quickly got around to seeing, like that's a G chord too. If I play that up here, the same combination of G, B, and D, anywhere on the guitar. And so suddenly that opens up a whole lot of freedom. If you're playing the solo up here, then you know, like, I don't have to jump all the way down to get that G chord. I can just play it right there. And that may or may not be the sound you're looking for, but it's certainly handy to have the option.
Yeah, I think that's a huge advantage with classical guitar. Because like what you were just saying then about knowing where the other G is, mm-hmm. not many people do that, you know, in modern guitar. You know, they know that G, you know, you say, oh, I'll play another G. Like, sorry, don't know any.
Yeah, it's like, this is the G, right?
Yeah, that's
just
right.
one.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess with classical, like you do learn all through that, and you got to know those notes, and with the reading as well. So yeah, it's great.
And it depends to some extent on kind of the path that you take through classical. I know not everyone did do that the way that I did. And I know classical teachers who actually still start their students on chords. I've always thought it's just too much to tackle. This is me opening up about this. I am not a good, like, I don't have talent on the guitar. I'm not one of those people that picked it up one day. I remember when I was a kid, and I mean, I was high school by this point. I'd been taking lessons for years. And I mentioned to my teacher, like, I think I might want to go do this in college, get a degree in classical guitar. And once he, like, started breathing again, he was like, all right, well, we've got some work to do. I'm not going to tell you no, but we'll see how this goes. And it's just one of those things that if you do have that, I think it's awesome. And I think it's good to be aware of that and to, like, really utilize that. But I've seen a lot of people get discouraged because they don't, like, their best friend plays and they picked it up at the same time and their best friend's taken off. It's like, that doesn't matter at all. You can always find kind of workarounds. Like, I've got these small hands that I have to figure out weird stretches. There are times that I'll put my thumb in front of the neck, like around the bottom to reach stretches. There's almost always a way, sort of, it just in terms of like fingering in a way that works for your hand or your body and that kind of thing, but also just learning it. If you go about things in a different route, there's always a way that you can get to a point where you can play really, really well and not just get through it.
Your back, so you went to the college and finished all that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so actually, I'm still currently working on my doctorate of musical arts, but I have a bachelor's and master's in guitar performance. And so now I'm working on that doctorate, teaching, performing, digging up music that nobody's managed to play yet. And yeah, I'm excited about a lot of this stuff that's been going on the last couple of years. It's very cool.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah.
So you pretty much do it full time then?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there was a few years ago, actually I took some time off after my undergraduate degree before my master's, and I had the option. I had been working at a Starbucks during my undergrad for a little while, and I was moving, and I thought, you know, they've got like all these great benefits, like you get health insurance, that's a big thing for musicians, and the extra money won't hurt. And so I was really considering just going part-time Starbucks, get kind of put in the minimum time to get the benefits and do guitar the rest of the time. And I saw a lot of my colleagues that were graduating with a similar mindset, like, okay, I got a friend that owns this business, I'm gonna go work in the office there just like to get money so I can do auditions. And then they loved it, and it's not like they're suffering through it now. Like, they sat down at that office job and they thought, this is great, like I get to hang around people, I don't have to sit in a room practicing alone by myself all the time. And I get a great paycheck. Like, it's a sweet deal. And I got scared of that. So I said, nope, I'm not doing any job other than guitar, because I know this is what I want to do. And there's kind of that, there's always that temptation. Like, if you get in another position and you mean for it to be temporary and it's great, why would you leave? And that's something that's always been practical for me, is just to force myself to hustle with guitar, like pick up students, go out. And at that time, since I was doing guitar full time, I had a studio space at home. So I would get up 6:30 or 7 in the morning and start doing some practice until like mid morning. And then I would get online and just start doing research, either about pieces that I'm working on, new pieces that I could be working on, or people I need to call about gigs. And it was a matter of like, if I am lazy today, I don't get money. I put myself intentionally in that position where I just had to make it work. ¶¶
many performances?
Yeah, it's in general, yes. The last couple of weeks, I've been slowing down a little bit, working on a lot of new rep. So I still have some of the old stuff that I can pull up if need be. But done a few things around for the university that I, well, the same university I'm getting my degree at and I'm also teaching at. And then just kind of doing little things, but no major concerts the last few weeks. I'm planning, trying to plan some things with a classical guitar trio that I'm a part of, that we're bringing in one guy from Denmark and then one guy from the Western U.S. I'm in the Eastern U.S., so it's logistically a whole mess. But we've played together before and have a lot of kind of good chemistry together and a lot of cool pieces that I'm really excited about playing. So we'll be playing those all around the Southeast U.S. next summer.
Oh, good. And how about you're a fan of John Williams?
Yeah. Yep. Excellent guitarist.
But yeah, you're not the Star Wars John Williams.
That's right.
Yeah, because he was originally from Australia, I think he was. So I used to see him a lot here doing performances, and that's what got me into classical guitar. I thought, wow, this guy's just amazing.
Unfortunately, never got to see him live. I'm jealous.
Yeah. I think he moved to, is it UK or something? Or even America?
Yeah, I think he lives in London now.
Yeah. He's how fast he got in some of his pieces with the fingers. I could never do that. Even with a pick. Couldn't do it.
Yeah, there are definitely some advantages when it comes to the finger picking that I think a lot of people recognize for like Travis picking or kind of doing these, that kind of texture. Like, oh, like, of course, that'd be a huge pain to do with a pick. But even these just like quick scale kind of things, like those sort of just quick bursts are really, they fit well under the hand if you adjust them to fit that way. Sometimes you have to change fingerings in left and right hand just to make sure that you don't have a weird crossing over with your right hand finger. Yeah, but it's once you get that and you have this kind of basic level of looseness and kind of dexterity in your fingers, and I really mean like a basic level, things can flow really easily. It just takes kind of that massaging in of the music, just going real slow, and then it just sort of pops out all of a sudden, and you want to make sure that you're keeping it polished and keeping things under control. But if you do it carefully, things end up being a lot less effort, a little bit more tedious, but...
Favorite exercises that you like to practice yourself or even to give to other students?
Yeah, definitely. One of the ones I use almost every day is, it's kind of based on like a jazz diminished scale shape that I ended up extending across all the guitar strings, so the actual harmonies get a little wonky. But I do on the lowest string, the first fret, fourth fret, so that's index finger and pinky, and then the second fret on the fifth string. And then I just go up the whole guitar with that pattern. So 1, 4, 2, 1, 4, 2, 1, 4, 2, and then slide 2. And you get this kind of, I don't think I would use that in much music, but in terms of getting the hands working together, and that's a big thing too with classical when you're using these fingers in all different places, is just timing the two hands together really cleanly. And it forces you to line those up, and then the right hand has some unusual string crossings. So usually when I introduce this to students, I'll tell them to start with the right hand, index, middle, and they usually go through that, and if they're relatively accomplished, they can get through it in the first or second try comfortably. And then I'll go back and I'll have them start again and say, this time start middle, index. So the same two fingers, just in the opposite order. And I've never had a student play it that way the first time correctly. Like, and it's amazing how it's still, for me, I've been doing this exercise almost every day for years. And I can, if I'm pretty warmed up, the index first pattern works great. If I'm not totally warmed up and I go and I start on my middle finger, it crashes and burns. So it's sort of become partially a warm up and partially a test to see if I'm warmed up or not.
So you never use your pinky in the right hand, the picking hand?
I started last year.
Oh, really?
So I was aware of, after almost 20 years of playing, I ran into a situation that I kind of needed it. I do know a handful of guitarists who suggest using the pinky for anyone, and they use it themselves for chords. Like if you have a five note chord that you just want really blocked, something like that. But for me, I've always found that using my thumb on two notes is a lot easier and just as effective. So you can still get all five notes cleanly that way without that effect. You still get all the notes simultaneously. But the situation that I ran into is, and this is where some of the picking technique actually is more useful, but the artificial harmonics or pinched harmonics, if you're using a pick, I was playing a piece that had all of these quick arpeggios, and this is actually with the guitar trio. So all three parts are doing things like this. And then, for some reason, this composer knows the guitar, so he should know better. But amidst that, once in a while, there would be an artificial harmonic at the top of one of those arpeggios. So you'd just have this quick like burst of notes, and then you just need to get a harmonic there, which it took some serious doing to make that happen. But in classical guitar, the way that we do that most of the time is by touching the node with one finger and then plucking with another finger. So whereas with a pick, you're kind of hitting with the pick, and then a split second later, your thumb hits do you do the kind of reaching up with the index finger?
Yeah, so with the thumb and the thumb, sorry, index finger and the thumb picking the...
Yeah.
I mean, it was a long time ago, so... Okay.
Mm-hmm. I do that on the bass strings as well. Sometimes I have to jump around, which is always kind of annoying. But with the pick, your thumb hits that node. And so with all those arpeggios, I realized my fingers were just too busy, and the pinky was sitting there not being used. So I grew out my pinky nail a little bit, and it works out well to just be resting there, and I can bring the index finger up to hit that node and pluck it clearly with the pinky. So it's got some use, but it took me a while to discover it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Pretty much all the main points about classical guitar, unless you can think of something else, anything else that you'd like to mention?
I think it's one of those things that people often form an opinion about before, sometimes they don't even realize it, but it's like, oh, classical, like I'm not into classical music, which it very much is. Like, I consider myself right in the, like, my colleagues are violinists and flutists and cellists, but at the same time, there's something familiar enough about guitar that I think it's at least a good gateway drug to get into classical. But even if you don't ever get into anything else, I know plenty of people who love classical guitar and have no interest in listening to orchestral music. And that's fine. There's a lot of really cool guitar stuff that is uniquely kind of guitaristic. And it's stuff that you don't often hear outside of the classical world. Occasionally, you'll hear some really... like Leo Kottke is an amazing guitarist, and he's doing a lot on that one guitar. You'll hear him play like self-accompanied melodies, but that's relatively rare outside of the classical world. And so I think even guitarists who aren't interested in pursuing it or like it being the main music they listen to, it's a lot of fun, and they, I bet, could get a lot out of it just kind of listening and seeing what some other people are doing with guitar and inspire them to do it even more than what they're doing, however much that is.
Have you got any plans of doing any recordings? Like do an album or anything?
Yeah, there's... The trio is... I would love to record some of the stuff that we've done because a lot of it actually hasn't been recorded or hasn't been recorded often. And there's been a couple of pieces that were written particularly for our trio that are incredible music. But yeah, again, with them, it's a lot of it is just logistics. We have two continents and opposite sides of North America to deal with. But sooner or later, I think something should be coming out there. And then I'm planning on doing a recording in the next couple of years, so not super soon. Tossing around a couple of ideas, but one is a really large chamber piece. So I love, like I mentioned, I love the guitar because I can play alone and it's complete, but I've become so much better of a musician from playing with other people. And I think that's true across the board. Anybody who's gotten out of their own practice room and met with a bunch of other musicians has improved. But this particular piece is about 40 minutes long with 10 players and is astonishingly difficult. So it's logistically difficult, and then technically, like, the guitar parts are just wild. They're written across a grand staff where we normally have music condensed into one. So just even the opening of the first solo guitar movement, you go from the lowest open E all the way up to that G sharp. So you've got there in three bars. And it's an amazing piece of music. It's Hans Werner Henze's Camera Music. If anybody's interested in looking that up, it's highly recommended. But it's very modern, so it might not be everyone's cup of tea either.
I look forward to hearing it.
Cool.
But no, definitely let me know if you do get the recording out, or with anyone or anything, let me know.
Yeah, thank you. I'd love to share it with you guys.
All right, no, thank you very much again. It's been a great insight to the classical guitar.
Yeah. Well, I hope that there's a few more people that check it out. Check out classical guitar in general. If you want to hear some stuff, you can find me on YouTube, Kirk Redman. But yeah, other than that, keep playing guitar. Hope that even if you're not interested in classical, like, there's useful stuff. So if only because classical guitar has been around for a while, the education side of it has built up a bit. So there's good stuff to be learned for any style. Well, have a good night. Thanks so much again.
No, really no problem. Thank you very much. So I hope you guys enjoyed the interview. It was really a great insight to the classical guitar and all the different techniques involved in playing classical. Like I said a lot of times, learning classical guitar is really a lot different technique than learning just modern guitar or rock guitar. There's a lot more involved, and it really is like a different instrument. So I hope you get an appreciation of the classical guitar and be able to learn some tips from it and hopefully pick it up yourself. Now, if you would like to see more of Kirk's playing, you can check out his YouTube channel, which I'll post it in the notes in this podcast. So next Wednesday, join me for my interview with Doug Pinnick from King's X. He'll be my first bass player I get to interview on the podcast. So until next week, keep finger picking and keep jamming.